Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Casa Connection podcast, where we talk about the world of foster care, the many issues, the many challenges, the resources and educational type of conversations that we have here at Casa of Somerset, Hunterdon, and Warren counties here in New Jersey. I am Jeff Warren, and I am here with my boss, our awesome executive director, Ms. Tracy Heisler. How you doing, Tracy?
I'm good. Hi, everybody. Don't tell him I'm your boss.
You're my boss. You're like the best boss I've ever had. Had some over the years. But working for this CASA program has been fantastic, folks. And I'm so glad that we are able to be in your ears. So glad we are able to do this podcast and upload content once every couple of weeks, because we do want to talk about and educate our communities on the world of foster care and the many issues that are prevalent within this child welfare system. And there are so many issues that we still haven't talked about. We're going to be getting into. And the one this week that we are going to talk about is something that our CASA volunteers have been well-trained on. Just other CASA programs throughout the state of New Jersey have been well trained on as well. And that is resiliency.
Yeah. And building it.
Building that resiliency. And it's such an important component. And I think it's really, correct me if I'm wrong, Tracy, but building resiliency probably has only really been talked about in the world of foster care over the past decade. And like the momentum of the issue and it has really gotten a lot of traction over the past decade or so.
It has, as we've learned more about adverse childhood experiences and how to insulate kids from those negative things that happen in childhood. The flip side of that automatically becomes, how do we protect them?
Right.
And resilience is one of those methodologies that's core. That and connection.
Right.
So Florida State University has, for any of you who are interested in learning more, they have trauma certification programs, level one, level two, that they're building to help child welfare professionals figure out how to do this work better.
Right.
So one of the things that, because I've been taking these modules, and one of the things that they provided was an excellent overview of some studies about what are the components of resilience. So I thought we could talk about that today.
Let's get into it.
With very specific examples. There are six domains that they identified.
All right, let's get into that first domain right off the bat here.
The first domain is a sense of belonging. And some of the underpinnings of that are things like healthy relationships, being safe, feeling loved, and having a connection to other people.
Mm-hmm.
That you matter.
Yes. It kind of goes in concert with, if you go back in our podcast feed, the last podcast that we talked about, where we were talking about, you know, positive experiences, this really does correlate with that. And I just wanted to mention that.
Yeah. And that's really a backbone piece of resilience, is feeling that you belong.
Yes.
Somewhere.
Absolutely. What is the second one here?
The second module was a sense of control, of feeling empowered, that you had some control over your life, that you had choices in your life, and that you develop the ability to have self-control, that you can delay gratification for things. You don't feel so desperate that you have to do this immediately.
Yes.
Which I thought was an interesting component of resilience, of being able to set what you want aside for a bit and then come back to it.
Absolutely. I think what's interesting is that helping your child understand that, you know, life's events are not purely random, and that most things happen are just as, you know, are the result of another individual's choices and actions, and being able to teach children that, I think it's very important, because children who realize that they can control the outcomes of their decisions are more likely to realize that they have the ability to bounce back.
Absolutely.
And I think that's very important aspect of this.
Well, and I think along with that sense of control is undercutting the victimhood mentality that many people who experience stuff develop, that I just sit here and get punched in the face by whoever walks by, instead of saying, you know what, stuff happens, but I can control some of the outcome. I may not be able to control what happened, but I can control how I respond.
Absolutely. Absolutely. What's next here?
Next is coping strategies And this is something that many of us as adults even struggle with, because it's not something that's generally actively taught to us, right?
I have older family members that have issues when it comes to coping, Tracy.
Yeah,
and who still deal with it into well past their
70s. And, yeah, but yeah. I mean, stress management.
Yes.
One of the things that we talk about in our trauma trainings is how do we help people manage difficult emotions?
Right.
And stress management is one of those things. Another is relaxation. There was a period in my life when I was overwhelmed by stress, and I started once a month going to get a massage.
There you go.
That was one of the things that I needed, and I felt bad spending the money on it, but I also felt like, you know, if I need to continue in my world, then this is what I need to cope, and whatever that is for you. And another is boosting our emotional intelligence, of recognizing that there are people outside of ourselves who have challenges as well, because it can be really easy to feel like you hate me, you know, you're mean, you're whatever, instead of recognizing that we all have stuff.
Yeah.
And having some grace and empathy and recognizing other people's emotional challenges too.
I've always felt very fortunate that I have been somebody who's been very musical, because ever since I was 10 years old, I've been playing guitar. And one of my coping mechanisms when I am stressed, when I am feeling that anxiety, I will play my guitar and things just go away. And it's so simple to say, oh, go get yourself a hobby. But really, at the end of the day, if there is something that interests you, it doesn't matter if it's putting a puzzle together or if you're fixing cars, whatever the case is, if you have something that you can go to that you truly enjoy, it really can help with coping mechanisms and really help with that stress.
And I think the flip side of that is also being accepting and supportive of what other people need in your life to be able to do that.
Being reflective of that, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
What's next on the list here, Tracy?
Next is connection. And that is something that we intuitively know, right? That it's more than a sense of belonging. It's being seen.
Yes.
It's having a role model. It's being heard. It's having social supports of people that, like many, I'm sure, when I go to a party, if I don't know anyone, I am deeply uncomfortable because I don't feel a connection.
That's natural.
To
That's
others,
natural.
Others there.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
And I think it's that same sense of trust.
Yeah.
You know,
part of it's there's a physical, emotional safety aspect of it as well, I think.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know you people.
Exactly. Exactly. This is a challenge that I have. Okay, I'll pull behind. Let's go behind the curtain here at the Costa Connection podcast. Tracy and I have had many conversations about our families. And for me, developing close ties to my family, and it has been a challenge over the years. And connection from a family perspective for me has been extremely difficult. It really has. And I'm not looking for any sympathy out there or anything, but having that solid sense of security that helps lead to strong values, it prevents alternative destructive paths to love and attention. You know, this is why connectivity is so important. And fortunately, I've had folks in my life that have been able to help guide me down various positive pathways. And that's what all children need.
And I, you bring up a point that I think will resonate with many people listening and with that are reflective of some of the challenges that our kids have. But if you don't have that connectivity with your family and that sense of loss, abandonment, rejection, you know, even my own mom or dad, you know, don't love me and want to have a relationship with me, that's very wounding. And we need to understand and be empathetic.
Yep.
And realize that
as difficult as it is sometimes,
try. That's a really primal kind of wound.
Right. Absolutely. As we're moving along here, what's next here with regard to the study?
So there are two more. The next one is character, having a set of beliefs, having a sense of meaning or purpose in life, and self-competence.
Right.
And one of the things that we sometimes see with kids who have experienced really traumatic things is they come to a worldview that may not be reflective of the mainstream or reality, right?
Exactly. So, social media certainly plays a role in that with a lot of kids.
Exactly. So we need to, that's where that relationship piece comes in.
Yeah.
To have the outside voice. This is no, dude, not cool.
Exactly.
My husband loves to watch those murder shows, and there was one he had on yesterday.
Like true crime shows?
Yeah, true crime shows.
I love those too.
So he was watching one last night with a woman in England who glorified serial killers and had framed pictures of serial killers on her mantle.
Okay.
And a coffin-shaped bookcase. And that to me is one of those red flags of a set of beliefs that, hey, sweetie, maybe we should have a chat.
Right, right.
That's not cool. Yeah. And she ended up killing a guy. That was a real shocker.
Sweet Jesus.
So the last one is flexibility.
Yes.
Understanding that life is not perfect.
Yes.
That people are going to make mistakes. Working through problems, that things can get better. And having hope, believing that good things will come.
Yep.
And again, that's one of those spaces when you're a victim who keeps getting punched in the face.
Yeah.
You lose that sense of hope. You lose that sense of competency, and you lose that sense of value as a person.
Right.
And so we really need to insulate and the kids around us and build the kids around us by being flexible and understanding in our interactions with them.
That's a great word, being flexible.
Yeah.
Flexible is a great word because I think we're talking about resilience. That really is kind of at the foundation of what building resilience is about, is that flexibility within our lives.
Well, and I think that's one of the core underpinnings many times for child abuse and neglect is people who don't understand normal childhood development,
right.
People who have unrealistic expectations of kids. And kids are human. They're going to mess up.
They are.
So instead of shaming, blaming, yelling, punishing, how about we say, oh, you know what, sweetie? You were supposed to take the cans to the curb.
Right.
Why don't you go do that now?
Right. Exactly.
Instead of, what's wrong with you? You saw them. You passed them by.
Right.
You know?
Right. Humans mess up.
Yeah.
We mess up. Humans have messed up, folks, since day one. And we will continue to mess up.
I promise. This is my promise to you.
Exactly.
I will mess up.
It's just how we inevitably react to the mistakes that are made. And you can really make positive and develop positive building blocks for children when they do mess up. Learning opportunities, whether it's folks that I've seen here at CASA, CASA volunteers, when one of their youth, a teenage youth, messes up. We have one particular case where we have a CASA volunteer who has been shepherding his CASA youth through high school, getting this kid to a point where he's going to inevitably be able to graduate someday. This kid has messed up. He has made mistakes. And it's okay to make mistakes, but he's learned from those mistakes. He's going to end up graduating high school, and he's going to end up furthering his education at some point down the road. And it's because of the CASA volunteer really helping to provide that direction, but it's also because of what we were just talking about, flexibility, the school district being flexible. Of course, the CASA volunteer being flexible with trying to figure out an educational-based plan for him. A lot of flexibility going on, Tracy.
And the relationship remained intact and strong because there wasn't shaming. Blaming.
Yeah.
Just how do we fix it?
How do we fix it? Yeah. And how do we be flexible with it? A great conversation here. Do we have anything else here for building resilience? We could talk, like our last podcast episode, we could talk about this for an hour or two.
So one of the things that they didn't touch on in the study, except peripherally, but I think as a practical matter of if helping children build outside interest and connection, where they can build feelings of competency, feelings of connection. So sometimes it's
confidence,
school
too.
Clubs, school clubs, hijacking them to make sure that they succeed, right? Because so many of our kids come to us with a broken spirit, right?
And
feel like they failed in school, they haven't been able to, you know, make friends, they move around all the time.
Yep.
So how are ways that we can ensure success for them so that it rebuilds their sense of self and reframes who they are?
Yeah, absolutely. I think this discussion about building resilience in children will certainly go a long way with those who are listening here. And I think that's going to do it for us. on this particular Casa Connection podcast. Check out our website, casashaw.org. We have some great resources there for you. And we also are on the social medias as well, Facebook and Instagram. Search us out there at Casa_Shaw on Instagram. I almost forgot it for a second. Dear heavens, I'm the communications guy here. How'd that happen? And just search us out on Facebook. You can like our page there. And if you would like to get in touch with Tracy, if you're interested in the Florida State University studies and what we've been talking about during this particular episode, you can reach out to Tracy. Tracy@casashaw.org, T-R-A-C-E-Y. You can email her, and she'll get you some information. She's very good about that, and we're good about educating folks about what's going on in the world of foster care. Let's keep doing it, Tracy. I'm enjoying this.
Thank you. Me too, Jeff. And actually, we're coming up on a year. We did our first podcast in June of last year.
We have to figure out a one-year anniversary podcast.
Oh, yeah.
What
maybe
are we gonna
go to
do?
A half an hour. Ooh,
oh, my gosh.
Exciting.
Oh, boy. we're on the
and
cutting edge.
If you don't think we could talk for a half an hour,
exactly.
You're sorely mistaken.
We'll have something special for our one-year anniversary coming up in June. Everyone, thank you so much. Share the Casa Connection podcast. We would greatly appreciate it. And if you are listening on Apple Podcasts, give us a 5-star rating. We'd greatly appreciate that. Rate and review the podcast as well. That's going to do it for us, folks. Take care. We will catch you on the next Casa Connection podcast.
Have a great day, guys.